Kia ora whānau. We're back again, having a talk about what this MACA process is all about. And again, I've got Anthony Partiti with me and Andrew Irwin, part of the MACA team. Last time we talked about a little bit of the history of where this all came from, and, you know, 2003 and being involved in the court case which led to Foreshore and Seabed and the bits of legislation since. Now I thought it might be useful if we had a bit more of a look at what the application Ngāti Kuata has put in, what it's entailed since 2017. It's been a bit of a time, just so we all understand a little bit more about it. So, Anthony, from 2017, what was your mahi?
Hopefully this is not boring for the whānau, but I'm going to explain the process and what we did. So we hired a project manager, Loretta Lavelle. We hired Andrew as our legal counsel. And we had Dr. Vincent O'Malley as our historian to do the, what they call, I guess, a customary report based on all the archival material. But we also needed to do the other side, which is, you could say, the oral traditional or customary research from the people. And so that was my task. In Kuata, one of the advantages of Ngāti Kuata and one of the great things that they did back in the late 80s, or in the 1990s in particular, was Joey Paul had done a lot of interviews of the Kaumātua. We also had the advantage of a Wakahuia program that looked at Uncle Turi Elkington, Uncle James or Jim Elkington. So we gathered a lot of the evidence. We interviewed further Kaumātua, and the archives that the trust holds, the Ngāti Kuata trust holds, were very useful. So it was a very fascinating process in putting it all together. And so my task was to put together that material to help legal counsel to be able to put forward an argument in terms of whether we have customary marine title and also protect the customary rights. So you would have seen in the application that there's two areas that we've got. We've got Area 1 and Area 2.
Why is that? Why is it being done in two bits?
So initially when we put the application in, it was basically focused around the Rangi Toto. But in the process with the Crown, we had to define the area in more detail. And so what Matthew Hippolyte did a lot of this work behind the scenes for everyone. So we were able to put a 12 nautical mile radius or arc around Rangi Toto. And so if you looked at the original map, it goes down around into the Pelora Sounds, around the Chrysalis, and comes out around Rangi Toto. Now, for the Crown side, they had to do a preliminary appraisal. They had to say, hey, that's all legit, that's all fine. But we knew that we had exclusivity around Rangi Toto in terms of a customary marine title. But we couldn't necessarily say that we had that for the Chrysalis and elsewhere. Now, that's not because we don't say that we don't have interest there. It's just that other iwi have also interests around there, Ngāti Kuia, for instance, Ngāti Tama. But so we extended our area into two areas. We had two areas. We had Area 1 around Rangi Toto, and that went round to into the Chrysalis Harbour mouth around to a point called Tokahoka or Red Clay Point. And within that sort of confined, we had Rangi Toto and the islands, and we had in the mouth of the Chrysalis Harbour, we had Kaiawa, the former Ngāti Kuata settlement, and the Otarawao Bay area, and we had the three islands out the front, Motuana Uru and Otuhaereroa and Mau Kirikiri. And those three islands are recognised in our treaty settlement area. So we limited it to that. We could say, yes, we claim exclusivity around there. Yes, we do have reserves within the rest of the Chrysalis and down to the Whanganui mouth. But we also recognise that Ngāti Kuia have interest in there in terms of some of the landless reserves in that area and some of the other reserves in that area are vested to other Ngāti Kuia rangatira. So there's a lots of nuances going, but we knew for the exclusivity, Rangi Toto and the surrounding area was what we could rely on.
So Area 1 really is the heart of Ngāti Kuata.
Yeah.
Area 1 is where most people already recognise that is Ngāti Kuata. But the wider area, Area 2, there's kōrero to be had with other iwi. Yeah.
And not to exclude that Ngāti Kuata in terms of the tuku, the old tradition goes from, to Hoi, the Pelora Sounds, right out to Farewell Spit. So, but, you know, we can't necessarily claim exclusivity around there. There are other iwi in those areas. So we just sort of, we wanted to be realistic about our application.
Okay, Andrew, from a legal perspective and the process, what has the Crown demanded? What does this legislation and the Crown side of the fence say Qwarta has to prove or provide to get to this title recognition?
So there are two main things that the law requires Ngāti Qwarta to prove. The first is that Ngāti Qwarta holds the takutai moana in accordance with tikanga. And the second thing that we have to prove is that from 1840 to the current day, Ngāti Qwarta have used and occupied exclusively the area without substantial interruption. Those are the two limbs of the test, and since 2017, that's what we've been about proving. We've been compiling the evidence that Anthony's mentioned, and we've been marshalling our arguments to present those to the Crown to satisfy them that Ngāti Qwarta meets those tests.
The process started with Qwarta's application going in 2013. That's a while ago now. How responsive have the Crown been in terms of the process and trying to get this completed?
Pretty good. It's been up and down, be fair to say. And, you know, there's been a lot of work to do, and that's for everybody, for Ngāti Qwarta and the Crown. From time to time, we've been frustrated a little with how we've been progressing. From time to time, we would have liked to have gone quicker, and we would have liked to have had more discussions with other groups and to be funded to do that. And there's always been a slight tension, perhaps, at how fast we've been able to go.
Sounds like every treaty settlement I've ever had an involvement with.
Yeah.
Where have we got to and what happens next?
We have prepared all our evidence. We don't need any more evidence. And the Crown's satisfied that there's enough evidence before them to make a decision. And so we're at the final stages, really. We need to get the minister to agree that the tests have been met, and we need to go through a process where the iwi Ngāti Qwarta will formally appoint the trust to sign off on the agreement on their behalf with the minister. And those are the key next steps to go through.
Okay, I know one question whānau will always ask is, how long is this going to take? Now, I know we've had an Anthony COVID put a crimp in your mahi, didn't it?
I think it's fair to say, from what Andrew was saying in terms of the Crown responses, that we're the guinea pig. We're the first off the rank in that sense. So we've had those sort of pushbacks and so forth. I think the Crown's been, trying to find the policy on the hoof. But at the same time, we've had the COVID, we had, lots of delays happening, pushing us back. So it's been a bit of an iterative sort of process getting there. And I'm looking forward to when it is concluded. It's been 10 long years. And Uncle George and I were there at the very beginning, and we're still there. So hopefully we'll be there at the very end as well.
I guess we wait and see. Hopefully there's no more COVID, there's no more cyclones and flooding and things that delay the government and distract them from, what to Ngāti Qwarta is really, really important, mahi. So, again, as we said last time, whānau, if you've got any pātai about takutai moana, about the maka process, post them up on the Facebook page or email them into the Trust office, and we'll collate them, and we'll come back in sometime soon, and we'll give you some answers to any of the pātai that you put up, and a bit of an explanation of some of those things if you have them. Kia ora.